Hear me all right? No echo? The view up here is really good. It really is. I mean, what a blessing to see my family, my brothers in Christ. Didn't know about the stage, so I'm a little concerned about falling off or walking off the stage, so we didn't pray about that. Might have a little mercy on me today. If you see me getting towards the edge, push me back. There's a great analogy there too, living on the edge. We're talking about mercy today. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We're on Beatitude number 5 of 8. And 4 speakers that have come before me have done such an eloquent job of telling us about the Beatitudes, of how they teach us, how they guide us, how they direct us in the way of Christ-likeness. And if we will listen with our spirits, our hearts, our minds, and begin to practice these Beatitudes, they'll bring us to a place of peace and a place of happiness. Mercy defined. Wow. If you want mercy defined, it's God's very own nature. God's very own nature is about mercy. And I'm going to tell some stories today about mercy in my life and other people's lives that I hope will bring that home. That it is God's very own nature. You see, mercy offers compassion to an offender. Can I get a witness? Any offenders in here? I just want to make sure I'm not alone. Last time I had you all stand up, and I wasn't sure you were all going to sit down. So today I'm just asking for a show of hands. God's favor, divine favor, to victims of misfortune. I think if I ask you to show your hands again, we've all been victims of misfortune of one kind or another. Some we think worse than others, but none of us are terminally unique. We are all offenders. We're all victims of misfortune at some time. You see, having compassion or mercy is the first step, but then doing something about it is the most important second step. Is my son here? Matt, are you here? I must have really scared him. I asked him for permission today. My son is Matt McCoskey's 25. I was going to have him stand, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway and tell you, my son Matt would certainly agree that he's given us some challenges and some opportunities for growth. He recently got married. I'm very proud of him and his walk today. He's really coming around and becoming the young man that Proverbs 22:6 promises. And I'm sticking to that promise and believing it. But if Matt were here, what I would say is, Matt, you're still alive. There's mercy. So somebody please tell him. There is mercy. Because there were times, and he would tell you, that I thought about taking him out. That boy pushed us in every way possible for growth experience. That's what I would say. And you that know him, some of you are laughing because you really, Taff, you really know Matt. Well, you know what? Matt's not the only one who's been saved by mercy. I guarantee you that, because I'm going to tell a story on myself. I was 22 years old, right out of Anderson University, spry young fellow that I was. Thought I knew just about everything there was to know at the age of 22. And my good buddy, there's a buddy of mine that a lot of you know, Bruce Taflinger, affectionately known as Taff. My good buddy Taff, he's sitting over in the corner, by the way. And I got his permission to share this story. And the other person that's involved in this story is sitting right in front of me, Mike Garrow. And I'm glad you two guys are in front of me, in case his mercy does. No, he's given me permission to share this as well. At the age of 22, I come home to Kokomo that summer. And my good buddy, Taff, said, "Hey, you're not dating anybody. I got a double date set up for this weekend." "Who is it?" I mean, I didn't know who she was. He gave me a name. He said, "She's a good friend of my girlfriend. we'll go out to a movie, go out to eat, have a good time. Sounds like a good deal to me. My good buddy Taff. So, I meet this gal. She's very attractive. Would you agree, Mike? He's agreeing. So, ends up, after the date, she invites me to their house. You hear what I said? Their house. I find out she's going through a divorce. Not yet divorced. Hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing's going on. I'm completely honest. We are in their home talking, sitting across from one another. In walks this big bad dude that I had heard about, Mike Garrow. Now, I don't know how many of you guys knew Mike Garrow before Meekness last week. But I'm telling you, I had 10 times the anxiety that I had before I came up here today, to be honest with you. Mike Garrow walks in like, you know, I was a little puny dude right out of college, 22, before weightlifting. And Mike looks at me and says a few things about why I'm in his house and that they're not divorced. Being the humble, smart guy that I thought I was, I said, "You're right. And I'm out of here. You're absolutely right." Do you remember that? I don't think you threatened me, but I felt threatened. I will tell you today, I thank God for the mercy Mike had on me before he even knew there was mercy. That is a true story, by the way. Well, what I want to talk about today, I don't know if you saw the title, and it can be a little catchy phrase there, but it's about you can't give away what you don't have, and you can't keep what you have if you don't give it away. You may have to think about that. I'm hoping by the time I'm done here that this theme will become clearer as I speak to you. You see, what I think is very interesting about being a speaker or a teacher or a lesson giver, a pastor, preacher, whatever, we usually learn the most as we study to do what God asks us to do. The day I got the call or the email from Brother Jacobs, and I don't know about you guys, but I didn't know what I was going to be speaking about. I saw it on the email and my name was attached to it. Now, how that came about, usually in the past we get to choose a topic or one we think we could talk about. This time, God chose it for us. We'll put it that way. And that very day, I left my house to drive to the YMCA. And as I was driving down Walnut Street, I think it's Walnut that goes towards the Y from my house, there were three kids, teenagers, in the street. And I don't know if you guys have ever been down a street where there's three teenagers in the street, and they're not moving very fast. They're in no hurry anyway to get out of my way. And as I approached them, thoughts started going through my head. I'm going to let them know what I think about them. You know, they're walking, giving it one of these, just kind of looking, daring me to say something or speed up or do what I was going to do. I had one hand on the horn, one on the window, and thinking about how I was going to respond to these guys. And God said, "Mercy." I rolled the window up. I kept driving. Well, no, I didn't. I had to stop till they got across the street. I waved at them and smiled, drove on. I said, "Thank you, Lord." Lesson number one. 3 days later, my wife says, "I'm going to run over to Woody's and get a Coke, half mile from our house." Now, I've told you stories about our old beater van. I still drive it. It's got 187,000. Rex has been trying to talk to me about getting a new car. He could help. And show me some mercy, I bet, too. So here we go. My wife calls me 45 minutes later from going to get a Coke at Woody's. And I'm thinking, well, she must have had another plan, or she must have stopped somewhere at the son's house, you know, and she's with my daughter. It's raining. Actually, it's pouring down rain this particular night. She says, "The car won't start." Guys, have you ever got that call? Most of you probably did better than I did. I said, what? I've been driving that car all day. There's nothing wrong with that car. How can there be? What did you do to the car? Right. Lesson number two. I get over there in the pouring down rain. We get the car home. And long story short, I ask her for forgiveness. She had mercy on me. She forgave me. And it ends up, I take the battery out, take it to one of the AutoZone or Advance, I can't remember. And the guy said, this battery's no good. It wasn't about my wife. It wasn't about anything she did. The battery was no good. So he said, what's the date on it? He looks on the side. It's 09 of 08. I get a free battery. And I'm thinking, okay, I showed mercy. I asked for forgiveness. God's showing me mercy. And I really believe that was another lesson for me about mercy. And remembering that you can't give away what you don't have, and you can't keep what you have if you don't give it away. One last story, and I'm going to share this because Paul told me I better. And I'd share it with you a couple of weeks ago. Most of you know, if you read the paper or if you listen to the news, Delphi is going through some very tough times. And some of you sitting here are part of those tough times, and I know that, having lost your jobs. Some of those folks are okay with that because they have retirement eligibility, whether they have 85 points or 30 years, and they have health care. About half of those people don't have, and they have to find a job and health care and all that goes with that, a means. The first week, I would guess 80 people came to see me, and I did well. I really felt like God was helping me, encouraging me, showing mercy to me, and I really felt like I was hitting on all cylinders, helping these people as best as I could in a very tough time. On Saturday, I crashed, and I burned bad. I was hurting. I was exhausted. I remember I started getting a headache for no apparent reason. And it just kept getting worse. And I started taking some medication to help, and it just kept getting worse. And it got to the place, I don't know if you've ever had a migraine, and I don't get them very often because I can usually nip them in the bud when I know they're coming, but this headache was to the place. I was uncomfortable sitting, laying, being quiet in a dark room. It didn't matter. I didn't know what to do. And I went out to my wife, and I said, I think I need to go to ER. I am hurting so bad. She said, let me rub your feet. Can I massage your feet? This is the same woman I got on about the car and blamed her. The same woman who has stayed with me for 30 years in spite of all my goofiness and my craziness and my being stupid and making stupid remarks and doing stupid things. She wetted rags and put them on my head and massaged my feet until I fell asleep. And when I woke up, my headache was gone. And I know she prayed for me. And she does pray for me. And she prayed for me before Christ saved me. And I believe He saved me because she prayed. My wife has shown me mercy. Now, why do I tell you these stories? I tell you these stories because I want you to start thinking about where are you today in terms of mercy, having been shown mercy and having showing mercy. Because, as we agreed earlier, we're all offenders. We all meet offenders. We all meet people with misfortune every day on this planet. Micah 6:8 says, so we who have experienced mercy and forgiveness are now filled with gratitude. So what do we do with that gratitude? What do you do with that gratitude? What do you do with that gratitude? You can't give away what you don't have, and you can't keep it if you don't give it away. I did a scripture search, and I found probably 20 to 30, and I just want to give you a few words from these scriptures. A merciful God, gracious and compassionate, kind to the ungrateful, merciful high priest, be merciful, show mercy, a God of compassion and mercy. Hear these words, great mercy and love, compassionate and gracious, in His love and in His mercy, He desires mercy, to act justly and to love mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. God desires mercy, not sacrifice or religiosity. Matters of love, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. God is rich in mercy. Judgment to those who show no mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. And finally, in God's great mercy, He gave each of us the opportunity for a new birth in Christ. Mercy. I'm going to share a text, and what I'd like to do as I read this, it's from Luke chapter 7, it's verses 34 to 50, a short 14, 15 verses. There are three main characters in this story, and I'm going to tell you who they are. There's Simon the Pharisee, there's the harlot, or the town prostitute, and there's Christ. And I want you to hear these three people, and I want you to hear their response, because each one of them have a response to grace. And as I read this, I want you to think about your response to grace. Where do you fit in? Are you more like the Pharisee on any given day? Are you more like a prostitute or the harlot on any given day? Are you more like Christ, which we're called to be? Luke 7, beginning with verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, and that she's a sinner." Jesus answered, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. He said, "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them do you think will love him more?" Simon said, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And then the other guests began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Let's talk about each of these just for a brief moment. Simon the Pharisee, religious, worldly, man of the law, a law guy. You see, he was offended by the prostitute. He judged her from the moment she walked in the room. He was looking down his nose at her. Probably even self-condemning kind of guy trying to keep the law, you think? You see, the world looks at mercy as a liability. The world view of mercy is liability because the world wants justice. And they say, take no prisoners, win at all costs, sue them, condemn others, lift yourself up, obtain your goals at all cost. Be proud and arrogant. Man, do we see this in sports world today? Way too much. Win at all costs. Crush them. Crush their spirit along with it. You can't show any mercy. Come on, these folks don't even know or recognize that they've ever received any mercy. They tend to live by harshness, bitterness, resentment, and condemn others at all times. Religious folks. The law guy. Then there's the harlot. Now she walks in the room. She came broken, hurting, ready to receive, looking to receive. She was looking for hope, for an answer. She came offering her best. She wanted compassion. She wanted mercy. more than anything else in her life at that time. And if we knew the rest of the story about her, I'm going to tell you what I think the rest of the story is, that she left there filled with mercy, filled with compassion, and she wanted to give it away. She went to her sister harlots and began to share the message of hope and strength and encouragement and mercy. And there is mercy if you're ready to receive. She shared what she'd been given so that others might be saved. What do you do with your gratitude? Thus, she got to keep what she had and what she had been so freely given, mercy. Okay, lastly, we have Christ. He is the example, real life, mercy. Come to us, come to our lives. And we're to challenge what the world thinks and those worldly ways of the law guys and the religiosity. We're to be a peculiar people. Mercy is essential if we claim to be who we are, a believer. We're to share and to give away what we've been given. Are you doing that? It's to be automatic and habitually expressed. Man, I like that word. You know, we think habits and habitually is a kind of a bad word, but that's a good word. If we habitually respond to offenders and those of misfortune that come into our life every day, into our path, wow. And if we give mercy to those folks, would that change the world? We don't need $700 billion bailout. What we need is more mercy. God puts people every day in your path, every day, to be shown mercy. My prayer is that you don't miss out on that opportunity from this day forward. Because sometimes it'll pass quickly, and it may only pass once. Act on it. Step two. Jesus felt her pain. He had empathy as well as sympathy for her. In Matthew 6, 12 through 15, it talks about, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." In 2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7, why do we go through these things that we're going through? Why do we receive the comfort that we receive? So that we can pass it on to others. You can't keep it if you don't give it away. John Wesley, incredible servant of God, said it best. And I like to think of this statement in terms of mercy. So hear it from the statement of mercy. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, and all the ways you can, all the places you can, at all times that you can, to all the people that you can, for as long as you can. Mercy can start today. And I'm challenging you at your tables. And you know what? Somebody shared this with me. I said, I'm going to share this today because it's something that needs to be shared. I think one way that we can show mercy today, and I'm going to ask you please to consider this. When we're closing and your tables are closing, it gets loud in here. And there are people still praying. Just for today, will you have mercy on those tables that are still praying and quietly go out and talk in the hall and let them be able to hear the prayer and to spend that time? I'm just asking you today. Somebody shared that with me. I felt that's something maybe we can do just today to show God we can do it. We can have mercy. Father God, having been recipients of this wonderful gift of mercy that you've so freely given, for the new birth and the new life you've given us the opportunity to receive through Christ, we who have been captivated by your love and by your mercy, I don't think we can help but have a spontaneous, habitual outflowing from our heart. Help us this very day, God, to have a gracious, merciful disposition towards offenders and those of misfortune because we have so freely received. Amen.